So, how's life going?
Life is life.
Well, maybe I should have started with a heavy subject like that.
A very complicated question. And my answer is going to be even more complicated.
Oh, boy.
But life is good.
Good enough.
Life is lifing, you know?
Life is lifing.
It keeps on lifing even if you don't want to life anymore.
Yes. Even after you're dead, it's still alive.
Yes,
Yes.
that's what I was trying to say.
Wow, nice. Very deep. Well, thank you for listening.
Profound.
Yes. No, but seriously, how has the last year been to you?
A blur, mostly. Time has flown by real quick.
I feel the same.
But it's been good. I've done a big thing for me.
Yes.
Well, the biggest change, I guess, in my daily life is I've started streaming.
Oh, he's a streamer boy.
Streaming on Twitch. And
We'll add the link in the description, I guess.
yeah, follow me now on twitch.tv/doubtingreality. Don't mind the cringe name. But yeah, it's been fun. It's just, I play a lot of games and I'm at my computer almost every day, even after I'm done with work. So what do I do then? I mean, I might as well stream it, and it's just I have a lot of friends.
Well, you have to entertain them, so it's
Yeah.
different than just gaming, I guess, but
A little bit. But usually when I'm playing games, I'm trying to have some banter or some fun, or I'm usually pretty funny. Not always.
Oh
Not
God.
with the voices. The voices are cringe.
Yeah, the voice are cringe.
But
And the faces.
I can't turn my face off.
Yeah, well, I wish you could.
Man, it's so mean.
Here we go.
But yeah, I've just been, gathering people from around the
The
internet.
streets.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But most of the time, it's I play games, and then there's people. Here we go again. There's people who also would like to play games with me, or just you meet them through the games, and there's a place for them to hang out.
So you could kind of say that you have a cult following.
Yes. It's just, imagine if you're also a person who plays a lot of games and you want to have friends online that you want to hang out with. And you have Discord for that,
Sure.
but Twitch has a different kind of atmosphere, a different platform. You can see me play a game, you can watch my face, you can see me struggle, you can see me have some nice kills or whatever in Hunt Showdown.
It also has more reach than Discord alone, I guess, but
Yeah, it's a platform where you can socialize, but also, have content or create content
yeah.
live in front of people, and they can react to it and stuff. It's just fun, For me, it's the biggest thing during Twitch is finding people and sharing funny moments with them. Yeah.
Well, yeah, so but also you're just like primarily just gaming and sharing that, right? Or are you gaming because you want to share that?
Well, yeah, again, I always do game anyway. I
Okay.
might as well share it.
Yeah, true.
It's just extra. It's a little bit, at first it was a bit, I would say a bit more awkward
Sure.
because I wasn't used to it, but nowadays I just, do whatever I want. And people seem to
Apparently
like
like
that.
that. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I don't know. For me, gaming is has become, or like over the past few years, I guess, has become more of like a solo thing to do. But I really like sitting on the couch and playing games or whatever, or sitting in a room and playing games. So
Yeah, I get that.
for me, it's a more of a nice relaxing moment, and I can't relax when I'm being watched, I guess. Or when I have to entertain people. I mean, maybe I could stream if I, just game and stream, I guess, and don't interact with audience. But that's you don't get any audience, I guess, if you're not like social or,
Yeah, I think at first you would need to interact.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you need to be like a likable person, and that's what you are.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm extremely likable.
Ooh.
But again, it's just a thing. I just turn it on and I have somewhat of a schedule, and almost every night when I'm gaming. I put on a stream. I have a little timer, not really, but I usually like start around 7 or 8 p.m. Uh-huh. And I turn on the stream. There's like the starting scene,
yeah,
that I have playing, and I just wait for at least one or two people to hop in before I start the games or something, because I want people to be catching the action from mm-hmm. the beginning if they can. And you know, it's just like a chat room where you're available to talk to them.
Yeah.
And it's also a kind of a hub for my digital friends, my online friends.
It's like a living room where you all gather and relax. Yeah.
That's the best example, I guess. And, you know, it serves its purpose.
Hmm.
And, you know, we're trying to find a community right now. Community is growing a bit. Like we got, you know, every day we get maybe one or two new viewers and stuff, and some of them stick around, and then the community grows. People get to know each other, and they find each other. They start playing games together without me too.
Yeah, that's nice. Fun. Yeah,
yeah.
So you're kind of bringing people together. That's mm-hmm. that's a good thing.
Yeah. So that has affected my life.
Yeah, I mean, pretty in a huge way, right?
Yeah, because it's for me. It's on one hand, it's not really an obligation. I don't get enough income from it
mm-hmm.
where I would consider it a job. On the other hand, if you don't keep it consistent and keep doing it almost every day, people will probably forget about you after a while.
Yeah, especially with the amount of streamers right now.
Mm-hmm.
You need that uptime, I guess. Yeah.
Okay. Consistency and like the grind is important for people.
Another reason why I would fail at streaming, because I'm pretty sure I can't keep it up every day streaming.
Yeah. Sometimes like, I've had weeks where I didn't want to stream.
Yeah. But you still did it, but
yeah.
Okay. So yeah. That's how you do it, I guess.
It's just because, you know, sometimes people actually off the stream, they ask me if I'm going to stream. Mm. So that's kind of a little motivation. Like, oh, people actually do want to watch me.
That's nice.
Or they want to interact with me.
Yeah.
They miss me. They want, they're like part of their daily life almost. For some people, they have me in the background while working.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if I stream at 7, 8 p.m., I used to stream a bit earlier before, but now that I have some of the project, like I have some projects that I have to do during the work hours,
mm-hmm.
I stream a bit later, but it's still at a time where people in the U.S. are doing their work.
Yeah.
And if you are in the IT business or anything digital and you can have something in the background, they usually like put me on in the background and listen to my stream and sometimes take a peek.
That's nice.
And maybe leave an emote or two when something funny happens.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like lurking, but some people just have me in the background for distraction.
Yeah, I get that.
So that's cool too, you know?
Yeah.
It's fun to know that someone is just doing their work, but also listening to the stream.
Yeah. I do that, like, I don't do streams a lot on the background when I'm working because I kind of...
Distracting?
Yeah, but also like I feel like I'm missing something, you know, with a stream because it's, you know, live. So I do watch a lot of YouTube videos while working, for example, but I can pause it and play back. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels a bit more of a less hands-on than a stream does for me, at least.
Yeah. Also, streams are not very curated.
Yeah.
While YouTube videos usually have a script or, you know, it's edited in a way.
Yeah.
I feel like that to me is more distracting than streams during work.
Yeah, I get that. Like a stream is just like a person being mm-hmm. there and doing something.
Exactly.
And it's not edited in an entertaining way, for example.
That it's tries not to too keep distracting.
You, yeah, I get that.
So, for example, in a lot of games, there's some downtime, right? You join the game, you play for like 10, 15 minutes, and then you're out of the game again for another 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Setting up your gear, looking through the menu, mm-hmm. talking a bit with chat. So there's a lot of downtime in the action and the entertainment, the content.
Mm-hmm.
You still have content outside the game
because,
you know, interacting with the chat and stuff is sometimes pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
And some people actually prefer that over the gameplay. They just want to have
chatting.
A chat.
Yeah, that's nice.
And I think, you know, it's something, like there's a bit of everything, mm-hmm. but it's on a slower pace than a YouTube video.
Yeah.
To have in the background.
I mean, when I say YouTube video, I mean, like, I do watch a lot of streams on YouTube.
Oh.
So VODs, I guess. Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, for me, at least the biggest plus point, I guess, is that it's I can pause it, I can play it back, I don't need that most a lot of attention, and I can't react to things, you know, live in the chat. But I also get why people do like that, though. Mm-hmm. It's just when I'm working, I don't want to like tap to like Twitch and then go to chat and then type something in, you know. It feels like I'm already too late when I want to do that.
I get that.
That's my feeling, at least. But
what I usually do is just have it in the background and they're playing a game I already play. So
okay, so it's more for the ride, I guess.
Yeah, just, it's like I'm just joining you on your adventure,
sure,
as well, and I don't have to react. I just have it on the second monitor.
Yeah,
and then if something, like, you can tell when something interesting is happening because the streamer reacts or the chat goes wild.
Yeah,
and then you look over for like a few minutes, and then you're like,
yeah, and then you go back.
Keep going.
Yeah,
keep going. Go back to work.
Yeah, I get that. It's just again, for me at least, there's some like a weird like pressure on me when I watch Twitch. Like I have to, you know, I have to chat and I have to interact with people. I know it's really stupid.
Like 80% of people on Twitch don't even.
They're probably just lurking. Chat. Yeah. Yeah, they're just watching. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they never reply.
Imagine having a stream with like 1,000 viewers, and imagine them all interacting.
Yeah, it would be chaos. But it does happen, I guess. But
it does, but most of the time it doesn't. Yeah. And then it's just.
And also, I mean, when it happens, a lot of people are like chatting to each other and not even like directly to the person playing. So yeah,
most of the time you get reactions if something cool happens in the game, but a lot of times people have their own conversation. They have a topic about the game tactics, balance, things newbies who come in with questions like, hey, how does this work? Or what do you recommend for this? And people react to that. It's like people are trying to help each other as well with the game they're playing.
That's nice.
Especially if it's a competitive game or even like single player games, when I played a lot of retro games that are very convoluted and hard to understand, people would just jump in the chat that I never knew, and they didn't even, I don't think that a lot of them followed me. They just hear me complain about a certain aspect of the game. They're like, oh yeah, you can do this to
they're there to help, I guess. Or yeah that's nice.
When I'm stuck, they would just give me a hint. And a lot of them are actually helpful, and they love the game. They love watching people play the game.
I think that's why a lot of people, you know, with passion, I guess, for a specific game, for example, they will join your stream because they like the game and they like people playing it.
Exactly.
I get that.
So what games did you like this year?
Oh, boy. So, I've played a lot of games. I wrote down a few because I don't remember them all. But recently I'm playing Alan Wake 2. Yes. Yeah. So it's the sequel to a game that has come out 13 years ago.
Yep.
It's pretty fun, by the way. In the game itself, in Alan Wake 2, they do reference like 13 years.
Oh.
So in the game, it's also 13 years ago.
That's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah. I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't want to like spoil things, I guess. But... Mm-hmm. It's a fun game. There are a few issues, especially with the gunplay in the game. I think all the games from Remedy have the same issues. So I don't know. Like they also made Max Payne, which was great. I think
the gunplay was okay.
I mean, like the bullet time in Max Payne was, you know, revolutionary and also fun, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the shooting itself was, you know, a bit.
It was repetitive and the feeling. Yeah, I love the animations in Max Payne, but it was, you know, not a lot of strategy. You just jump in, use your bullet time, and kill as many as possible.
So that hasn't changed in like, I don't know how old. I think Remedy's like 25 years old by now, or 20 years old, and it hasn't changed. It's still the same issue, I guess.
But
the gunplay is still pretty simple, and the animations are like amazing, and like everything is very, you know, polished. Everything looks great, like the textures and also the light effects and all that stuff. It's amazing, but the gunplay itself is, I don't know. And it's a big part of the game.
But how is it big? I don't want to spoil it too much, but why I thought it was like a psychological horror thriller thing. No?
No.
Like, you actually fight people?
Well, not... Yeah, people, I guess. Yeah. It's the same... Have you played Alan Wake 1?
No.
Okay. Okay, so it's difficult to explain.
Isn't it Ghost or something? I don't know. There's like... I don't want to spoil too much for myself because I might want to play...
Yeah, it's not a spoiler, I guess, but there are like... There's darkness in the world.
You can shoot the darkness.
Alan Wake. Well, it's people who are possessed by darkness. Let's just call it like that. So
okay, so you shoot the flesh of real humans.
Yeah,
it's not they're like, entities or something.
No, they're not. It's partially like they're 50-50 human and entity. I guess that's
what I'm trying to get at is why do guns affect them if they're supernatural?
Yeah, okay. I can explain this because it's not a spoiler, I guess. But in Alan Wake 1 also, people are getting like kind of possessed or taken over by something called the darkness, I think.
Ooh.
So people are like, there are, it's graphically really impressive, but they are like, how do you call it? They have a layer of darkness over them.
Okay.
So there's a human underneath.
Yeah.
And you have to burn the darkness away
with flashlight.
Before you shoot them. Yeah. So it's mainly that. So there is gunplay because you have to kind of, you know, you have to burn the darkness away. You have to manage like your battery.
And then when they wake up because they got their darkness burnt away, they're like, oh, what happened? Oh!
and then they die. No, there's still something in their brain.
Okay, I'm joking.
Yeah, I know. there's a lot of shooting in it.
That's interesting.
I would not call it, I mean, you can call it psychological horror, I guess. You can also call it...
supernatural thriller.
it's very difficult to explain. Like resource management is survival. In there a bit. Yeah, survival, I guess.
Because now that you describe this, it kind of reminds me of Resident Evil a bit.
I mean, it does kind of.
But then instead of...
It feels like Resident Evil has way more action in it compared to the amount of story in it. And this has way more story than action in it, but the action part is still like very important. So,
but is Alan Wake a action focused game, or what's the main gameplay mechanic?
It is like the flashlights and the shooting, I guess.
Yeah, is it not puzzles and detective work?
There's also puzzles in there, yes.
But isn't that the main deal? And then there's some action sprinkled in.
It feels like there's more action than. But the problem,
even in the first one?
I don't remember, to be honest. But it feels like the action is always part of the puzzles too, in a way.
That's cool. I thought it would be more separate. Like you have a scene you have to figure out as a detective almost. And then you get like an encounter.
Yeah, but exactly. It's like that. It's a lot of times where you're trying to solve something and then there is an entity close.
Those meddling kids.
Yes. Meddling darkness, I guess. But again, I don't want to talk about it too much, but graphically, audio wise, everything, I love it. It's like, there are not a lot of games that get my heart pumping in a surprising and like good way, and this one did surprise me a lot. Control, that was also. I mean, again, I think the gunplay and the gameplay in Control is not great,
but
everything else is great.
The atmosphere, the story,
the ideas that are made. Like you can clearly see that a lot of creative people.
Yeah,
you know, made this with a lot of passion, and that's something that's very rare for me to see. And also, like games that surprise me has been very rare. So,
yeah, it's been. Some people say, "Oh, 2023 was an amazing year for gaming," and yeah, sure, there are some real good games, but there are also a lot of letdowns.
There's a lot of like generic games too. So
yeah, but AAA games that feel like, you know. Like indie games or even let's just early access release, but they're like full releases for I don't know. I'm thinking about Blizzard, like Diablo, and there's a bunch of other games this year, like Starfield,
yeah.
It doesn't feel like big AAA companies are putting in the same amount of passion as they used to.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like people are. Like they are putting in a lot of time, I guess. Yes. That, I mean, and money. I mean,
that's the thing that's
like,
weird.
Like Diablo and Starfield are like very expensive games, mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, but it doesn't feel like it for some reason.
That's what I'm saying. It feels like an indie company did this.
Yeah. And so,
and if an indie company did this with like a budget of 100 times less,
yeah,
it would be understandable, and it would also be praised for the scope it would have.
Yeah.
But a AAA game that's been, you know, repeatedly marketed as a huge open world, like multiple multiple world thing, and then yeah. only like 20 of the thousand planets you can visit in Starfield are filled with actual
yeah. The rest is content. Like an empty desert. Yeah. Yeah.
And then the reaction you get from the developers is, oh, it's just to create a feeling of how minuscule you are compared to the rest of the universe.
That's an easy way to...
And something that's empty doesn't mean it's boring.
Yeah.
That's literally what they said wow. in a reaction.
Of course it is.
And, you know, it's a different kind of take on gaming mm-hmm. where it feels like the time spent is more on marketing and pretending the game is good instead of actually filling it with content and making it fun.
Yeah, I think, I just thought about it, but I think a lot of those big companies also, they kind of give up because they know that they will make money from it.
You sure.
know? Like Diablo 4, for example. I mean, I'm pretty sure Blizzard...
They sold really well.
Even while the game has been like yep. criticized and it's apparently pretty bad. So
yep.
people keep buying it and they know it. So they don't really care that much.
I didn't buy it.
And that's
I wanted to, and then I looked at the gameplay and the trailers yeah. and there wasn't the thing that I was looking for. Mm. It's just I didn't see the passion.
Okay.
So
yeah, I get that.
It wasn't enough innovation from the previous title, and I said to myself, unless it's worth playing, I'm not spending the money. And yeah. so far it just seems like a rehashed Diablo 3. Mm. And it's
after all that time.
Yeah. After, well, Diablo 3 came out in 2011, 2012.
That's so, yeah. 11 years, maybe.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's such a letdown because you're spending 70 euros and it's just...
It's also 70, yeah.
Yeah.
Prices have gone up, yeah.
It's just a graphical enhancement of Diablo 3. And to me, it's not worth that amount of money.
So I really like Remedy games. Because they are a AAA studio, mm-hmm. all their games fail financially. So, but every game they make, they pour like everything in
their heart and soul in it.
Yes. So again, it's very creative, very unique. I really do wish that more people would buy their games and would, you know, support them financially.
Yeah, I think I've only heard praise for Alan Wake 2, but
yeah.
did it do well?
I'm
financially,
like, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it was a very expensive game to mm-hmm. make because there's a lot of it in it.
Yeah,
there's a lot of technical and like, dude, they made like I think 20 or 30 like songs just for the game, and like not like just a minute, but like 3 to 4 minute songs from like artists.
Yeah,
there's FMVs in it. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know how many hours, but it's insane.
Yeah, it feels like a Hollywood blockbuster movie combined yes. with a AAA game.
And the way the FMVs cross with the gameplay, it's done so well.
That's
so
cool. FMVs are, in this case, not in engine.
No.
There
are really FMVs. So okay. there's like actors, but it blends with the game.
That's interesting.
And it has... Like it, that kind of started with, I think Control also did that.
So they have actual, like real life actors.
Yes, yes.
Isn't that jarring?
No, it's again, it's done really.
I've never seen that before.
It's done really cool. Yeah.
I gotta play this game.
It's a lot of fun. Again, very creative. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. There was a moment in this game where like I just had to like stop for a few minutes and just like
get take it in.
Yes, it was so much fun. No, it's like it was just so surprising okay. something, and it kind of, you know, lifted cool. me up. I was really happy to see it.
That's cool. So you're talking about the gameplay or the plot in this case?
Just something that happens in the game.
Okay, interesting.
That's like, I don't know, like 30 minutes long or something, mm-hmm. and it. Like I was just smiling the whole time.
Okay, That's interesting.
Yeah. So again, I don't have a lot of games that do that to me, that make me really excited about something. And this one did. So that's also why I kind of wanted to talk about it. Tell you that it's worth, it's 50 euros, not even 70 like Diablo.
All right. Well, duly noted. I'll definitely play that on stream.
Nice. I'll watch that. Again, I think Control's also very nice. It's just it
controls a bit janky.
No. It controls great. It's just the gunplay is also a very big part of the game, and it's just something is missing from the gunplay. But fair everything enough. Else is like amazing, so that kind of fixes it for me.
I've seen you play it a bit on your computer when I once was over.
I think I had a new GPU then. Yeah.
And you know, I don't know what the hell was going on, but it was pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
It reminded me of Portal in a way where like you get into an area and you have to get to the other side.
Yeah.
But there are things, obstacles in your way, and you have to find your way through game mechanics.
Yeah.
A good way to get there. And there's multiple options.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I don't know how you would call this, but like a geometric puzzle almost.
Yeah. It's the same with, I think with Alan Wake too. Mm. It's also, it feels like you have small arenas where you have to go through.
That's cool.
And solve something to get there. So
I think that's, you know, so you would say it's a linear game or an open world game? Because you can walk around the city or something, right?
Yes. I mean, I think you should call it linear, but it's a really huge, like it's very big linear.
And can you backtrack?
You can. And you also sometimes have to kind of backtrack.
Okay. Interesting.
And in Alan Wake 2, you also have two storylines, and you can switch between them whenever you want. Mm. So you can switch characters and do something that's completely cool. Different than the other character.
If you're stuck, for example.
Yeah, you can just switch to the other and continue playing. And the stories kind of, they overlap with each other. So it's, But they don't force you to switch at specific points. You can do whatever you want. So you can finish one storyline completely and then go to the other one. And then
if you wanted that,
So it's very interesting. So yeah, that's me gushing over Alan Wake 2, I guess.
Duly noted.
Again, there are not a lot of games that really surprised me. And I think Inscription was also one that really surprised me. I didn't play that this year. That was last year, I think.
But hey, you can talk about that.
I can, kind of. But Inscription is also a very fun game.
I still have to play that as well. You recommended it to me previously.
Yeah. You should, I mean, you don't have to, but again, also there was another game where I was like, whoa, what's happening? And I never saw it coming.
Cool.
So yeah, you played some Resident Evil 7 this year.
Yes.
So a pretty old game already. How old is it, by the way?
I think it came out in 2016 or something.
Let's see. We're both looking it up, I guess.
Yep. 2017.
Yeah, January. Wow, that's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Damn. Still looks great.
Yeah. Honestly, Resident Evil, this is my first Resident Evil game I've officially played to completion. I once, like when I was really young, I started playing Resident Evil 1 or something. Mm-hmm. And that was just like a demo shareware version for, I think it was it DOS back then even?
Oh boy. Yeah, I'm not sure. Probably.
Anyway, yeah, 1996.
Ooh.
The first ever Resident Evil. Well, it was an experience. You know, it feels there's a lot of content in there. Or how do you say this? Like, it feels very mature.
Yes.
The game feels like it knows what it wants to do, and you can tell from the start that it has a kind of an atmospheric movie-like vibe, where you're kind of getting a lot, like you're just being pushed into a direction, and you can't really go anywhere.
Yeah,
it's kind of your worst nightmares coming true, and in a goofy way.
Hmm.
I didn't expect it to be that goofy.
Yeah, there's a lot of comedy in there.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird black,
but it works.
Yeah, dark comedy.
Yeah. It reminds me of like Evil Dead, the movies, for example, in a weird way.
I can see that, yeah. It's weird because I thought it was a bit more serious. Mm-hmm. And I think the other Resident Evils are more serious.
Yeah.
They are not as tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, there's a lot of cheese in them, in the other Resident Evils. Mm-hmm. But this one has a nice, goofy, but still, you know, fun way. The others are a bit like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You have to smile. Like they force you to smile about something, but it's not that funny in the other games.
Yeah, and to me it was interesting because RE7 was my first RE game.
It's very interesting that was your first one.
But yeah, I mean, somebody recommended it to me and I was like, this looks up my alley because it's first person.
Yeah.
This is the first person RE game.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
And, you know, it was the atmosphere looked cool. I watched a bit of the trailer, not too much. I didn't want to get spoiled. And, you know, it's also in between multiple events during Resident Evil's timeline.
I don't think like Resident Evil works on itself. You don't necessarily need anything. Yeah. Like you don't need the other games to make sense of the game.
At the end, there was a tie-in with the other games, and it felt a bit like, you know, stuck there at the end. They just added it to the end, but I guess the monsters and stuff, they're pretty I don't know, I haven't played the other REs, but don't they also have the same kind of what do you call this, the toxicity, the fungal growths?
No, the other games are not fungal based, they are all virus based, I think.
Okay,
if I remember correctly,
because in RE7, it's kind of a combination, I think, of the fungal and the virus.
Yeah.
And it's like a...
Yeah, they call it the mold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a cool game. I had my gripes with it, too.
Can I add, like, I think I know why Resident Evil 7 feels so great, at least. Like, the game itself feels like they poured a lot of time and energy and love in it, right?
Yeah, they did.
Because... I think again, like Capcom made it, I guess. But so with all the games before 7, so especially 5 and 6, they were cheesing it. They were like making horrible games.
Yep.
And they were financially failing a lot because they were just bad games. And with 7, they kind of, you know, scrapped everything and just started from scratch.
Yep.
And I think that's what makes it very unique and, you know, special and very good.
Yeah. To me, it was. You know, I heard a lot of praise for it, and it kind of saved the Resident Evil franchise.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, let's go into this. And my biggest surprise is actually, like, I knew it was by Capcom, but I looked at the credits at the end, and they were all Japanese people.
Yeah,
and I was actually surprised how good of a, I would say, good of a character they can make. Like, all of the characters felt really American.
Yes.
they nailed that. The feeling of like people in Louisiana and the bayou.
Oh, I mean, they have people, you know, in America, but yeah.
No, but I think most of the development was done in Japan, and the storyline and stuff, even the story was all like made by Japanese people. It wasn't people who lived in Louisiana.
I think that's also what makes it kind of, you know, eerie, because it's, you know, someone from the outside looking in and seeing all the weirdness in the bayou, I guess, compared to if someone would live there, they would have like maybe some, like, how do you call it, prejudice, I guess.
I see what you're saying. I don't know if that's, for example, another game that does the bayou is Hunt Showdown, you know, the game I still play a lot on stream, and I feel like the bayou has its I would say its topics with the like fungal growths and stuff is pretty common in games that are in the bayou. So that's kind of a cliche a bit. I don't know if it's cliche for 2017, but you know, insects and alligators and like everything tied with swamp and the unknown below the surface of the water.
Yeah.
I think it's it's pretty common in horror games to have these tropes for the bayou environment.
Yeah.
And but my point is, it's just, it felt to me that they actually somehow researched the like hillbilly hick style family.
Yeah.
And they actually put them in there. I mean, on one hand, it's a bit cliche.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it felt more natural than a lot of other media that I have consumed for the like that plays in the bayou.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, it's over the top, but it's not too over the top in some way.
Yeah, it's weird because, you know, on one hand, it doesn't make any sense how this whole game is put together.
Yeah.
It feels like a fever dream.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's what they were, you know, trying to do, and that works.
Yeah, it feels very uncanny and eerie. And you can kind of... Sometimes you have a very, very well put person as an antagonist.
Yeah.
So you feel like that's a fleshed out character.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they feel like you don't exactly know what their motivations are.
Yeah.
And I have like with Jack, the father.
Yeah.
I feel like he was fleshed out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's the first character you have to deal with.
Yeah. I'm gonna guess which character you didn't enjoy a lot. It's probably Lucas, right? Or not?
Lucas was okay. I honestly thought like Zoe.
Oh yeah, sure.
Who is not an antagonist directly, but is part of the family. You can only hear her voice for the first 75% of the game.
Yeah,
she's helping you.
Yeah, it feels a bit like she was just like added afterwards.
Yeah,
for some reason.
And you know, there are reasons why she is like this, I guess, but it made no sense why she hasn't transformed fully. Not exactly, because she's from the same family, right? So why is she genetically different that she can be more in control of her of herself? Anyway, it feels a bit slapped on at the end, but also my main problem was just interacting with her character when she's in front of the player. She's like talking to us. It feels like she's just brain dead. Her words, her phrases, and her look, man. I don't know if that's better nowadays, but the characters in RE7, they all have a phase of like hollowed out.
Dead eyes.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone. It's just that uncanny look on their faces.
For me especially... what's her name again? Like the woman you're looking for, right? Your girlfriend.
Yeah.
What's her name again?
I don't remember.
Like, she looks like a ghost.
Yeah, she looks so weird.
I don't know.
She looks like a grandma or something too.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. I think, I think it's like a graphical thing where they just couldn't make it work properly.
Because when she turns, it's Mia Winters.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's it.
When she turns into the, I guess the molded, like between the, because she's not fully molded, she's still transforming. When she turns into her evil self, she looks pretty good. Like she looks fucked up and scary. But when she is normal, she's actually scarier.
Yeah, she doesn't look healthy. Yeah,
she looks like her gums are like bleeding and her teeth are falling out.
Yeah, she looks like she has been in a basement for like 20 years and haven't seen the sun and has like a drinking problem or something. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, that's anyway.
You know, who's also in a basement. Well, no, I'm trying to make a segue to another topic.
I know which one.
I don't know if it's already time for that, but I don't know. You also watched this movie.
I have.
This year, right? Yeah, it was this year. It felt like last year. I don't know. This year kind of blends weirdly together. But Barbarian was a fun movie.
I loved it for the most part.
For the most part, yeah. I don't know why I picked this movie to talk about, because it's very difficult to talk about without
spoiling,
telling too much. Yeah. So let's just say, how can I say this? It's an interesting movie, very weird. Just go with it. That's all.
If you like horror.
Is it a horror movie though?
Yes. If you don't like horror, you'll hate this movie.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. But don't go in expecting like
it's not a cliche horror.
A jump scare. Yeah. you know,
it's not a what's it called again? There's a term for that when monsters like keep. Oh, it's not a slasher.
Yeah. No.
It's not a slasher. Yeah. It's not like a classic. I don't know.
I can't remember. Like, I don't know any other movie that fits in this.
Yeah.
Category, I guess.
That's a good point, because the movie is kind of genre bending.
Yeah.
Because at first, I would say it's almost like comedy.
Yeah.
It has a lot of like. It has an eerie vibe. It's like thriller comedy.
Yeah, exactly. Because at the start, it feels like a generic movie,
yeah.
Like a generic thriller horror movie.
Even a rom-com.
Even a rom-com, yeah.
There was a rom-com section.
Yeah, and you kind of think, like, oh, you know, I already know where this is going. Yep. But it's not going there. So yeah, I think that's already a bit too much information, I guess. Just go in there without knowing.
Barbarian, yep. It was a, you know, Kaylee and I watched it, and we were both like, I don't know, we kept talking about it for a week.
Yeah. That's the sign of a good movie, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want another really, in my opinion, not as good as Barbarian, as in general audience,
mm-hmm.
but if you're into a real weird psychological horror with a pretty interesting topic, watch Men.
I still haven't watched that yet.
It's super creepy, mm-hmm. and I think this has more of a typical horror thriller type atmosphere.
Great.
But there's something there that is very unique to the movie.
Okay.
And the ending is amazing. Like, not the actual ending, like, of the movie, the last few minutes, but the climax, I would say, is really good, really good. And it leaves you with a lot of questions, but it also answers a lot by just looking at things. It's hard okay. to explain.
I get it.
Another movie I recommend is Something in the Dirt. And it's a...
So I've never heard of it.
It's a film house. What do you call that? It's a weird movie. It's
art house?
Yeah, it's an art house film, okay. almost. But I guess people don't really love this movie, but I think it's one of the best movies of 2022. It's really goofy.
Yeah, I see the description, and it says it's an inventive mix of body comedy and sci-fi thriller.
Yep.
Which sounds...
It also is a bit of a mockumentary.
Okay.
So there's two friends, or I wouldn't even call them friends. There's just people who live in the same apartment who find something, and they are trying to make money off of it by making a movie or a documentary about it.
Okay.
And it's weird and goofy, and I don't know. You might.
I remember the director from other movies, and they always make this like a specific kind of movie. Yeah. So I'm pretty sure I'm gonna like it, I guess.
I liked it. I think it's a bit more. It's more casual, but there's also certain scenes that I think are actually amazing. Like
visually, you mean, or like
just in total, in its totality, because the cinematography is really good in this movie.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it blends between like intentional like awkwardness,
uh-huh.
and even with the filming, you know, like it's handheld most of the time, so there's like this feeling of jarring, fast paced, blurry, not 100% precisely filmed, and you feel like you're taking a look behind the scenes.
Okay, like you're there,
yeah.
or something.
Yep, it feels like that, and the characters themselves are actually so fucking funny.
All right,
they're so weird.
I'm gonna add it to my watch list, because this sounds like a lot of fun.
If you partake in drugs, you might want to take some before watching this.
All right, it's interesting.
It's kind of, it reminds me of like Dumb and Dumber, but then not that dumb.
All right,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, that sounds interesting. Like, I know this guy, or these guys, I guess, from The Endless, which was like a, how do you call it? H.P. Lovecraftian, that's it, Lovecraftian mm-hmm. type of movie.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like a lot because it was a bit too... It didn't go, you know, get a point across. It was okay. kind of floaty.
Yeah.
And the same was for Spring, I think. Yeah, Spring was also kind of, I don't know. But there's something there in all those movies that yeah. they are still movies I think about sometimes. And they're like, yeah, I there's something I like.
It's
about
artsy.
This. It's artsy, yeah. I do like a lot of A24 movies too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I'm a big fan of those. Is that a producer?
No, it's the how do you call it, studio.
Oh, okay.
They also made like, did they make Mandy, I think?
You yeah. know,
those types of movies.
They did make Mandy.
So yeah.
Yeah.
Also.
Every time, I actually like follow them.
Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. They also produced that, I think. So mm-hmm. it's just, they make a lot of weird. I think they also did Men
yep.
Too.
I just wanted to mention.
Yeah.
Mention.
Men. Oh. Yeah, I think they're doing great. They have a lot of great movies. So,
mm-hmm.
So yeah.
How are we doing on time?
How are we doing on time? Yeah, that's an excellent question. We're like 46 minutes in.
All right.
So it's, you know, it's fine.
Is it time?
I don't know. Is it time?
To break it off? What else is there?
Something you want to still, you know?
I mean, we can open the can of air from other countries because we traveled. Canned air
oh,
from
yeah.
Japan.
Yeah, we were talking about what we did this year. Yeah, I guess. Besides games and movies. Yeah, I went to Lanzarote. Lanzarote? I don't know how you call
it. Is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea. But I think for me, at least the biggest one was Japan for 3 weeks. Yeah, I don't know. This was my second time. Every time when I say that, I feel like I'm bragging, but I don't mean it to brag. I mean it just like...
You're just making people very, very jealous.
Yeah, but that's what bragging kind of is, right?
No. The purpose of bragging is making yourself seem...
More like, important yeah. or like...
Yeah, like but your purpose is not that.
Yeah, I know, but it feels like it every time when I say it.
Yeah.
But so
bragging makes you a douchebag. But you're not a douchebag, so you're not bragging.
Okay, thank you. That's good to hear.
Yeah.
So I went to Japan for 3 weeks, and it was, I don't know. It's very difficult to summarize everything in like a few, like in a short way. But it's just such a beautiful country with such, you know, nice ethics and people and food and...
Mm-hmm.
nature and like the culture is so interesting. Like I don't want to be a weep, but yeah, I don't know.
But Oni-chan.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just I know there's also, you know, a few downsides to Japan, you know. It's not perfect, mm-hmm. of course, but it's
yeah. It feels like an upgrade from your living condition right now.
It feels like an upgrade for everything in my life, you know.
But how long were you there for?
3 weeks.
Where did you spend your time?
Oh boy. So we kind of traveled around a bit. Mm-hmm. So we were like 5 days in Tokyo, and then we went to Kyoto for I think 4 or 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went to Osaka for a few more days. And then to Hiroshima, and then to Naoshima, which is an art island, and then to Tokyo again for a few days. So if you look at a map, that's kind of like from the right of Japan all the way to the left, mm-hmm. and then back to the right again.
That's cool. How did you travel, by train?
Yeah, like trains and metros and everything. Mm-hmm. There is just, yeah, it's perfect. It's amazing. That's cool. It has gotten pretty expensive to travel all the way. Like when we were going from did we go from, yeah, like if you go from right to left, I think you'll spend like around 140 euros per person to travel. But that's also like, I think, 4 hours with a train.
Which so expensive though.
It's expensive and it sounds like a long time. But if you look at the distance, it's, you know, it's nothing. Okay. You know?
Yeah, it's like three times as fast than trains here in Europe.
And
probably.
Everything is so comfortable and quiet and I don't know. I can gush about Alan Wake. I can also gush about Japan. If you have the money for it, or if you're interested in like that culture, I guess you should go to Japan. That's to summarize.
It's on my bucket list.
I would like save up and just go there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know, because I've already stroke through one of the items in my bucket list.
Yeah.
Struck through?
I don't know.
Yes. English. English is hard, guys. I went to Iceland this year.
Yeah.
Together with my girlfriend.
That's on my bucket list.
Hey, we switched.
Yeah.
Or we switch next year.
We'll see.
We just decided to go to Iceland suddenly because Kayla was really in the mood to travel and... it was just the right time. It was summer, but it was still quite cold. It was, I think, max like 13 degrees Celsius.
Yeah,
but it was with the sun out, it's not bad.
Yeah.
We just landed in around Reykjavik. It's Keflavik. Keflavik, and then we had to take a bus to Reykjavik. There's no actual airport in the city. So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. How long was the ride?
It's like an hour almost.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's...
We also had to drop off other people at hotels, you know.
It's one of those buses that... Okay.
So, but I would say 45 minutes if you're on your own.
Hmm.
But it was pretty cool. There was, there still is an eruption of the volcano.
Oh, interesting.
Grindavik volcano. You could see smoke. It wasn't close to the city, but you could in the distance see like smoke coming off of a mountain top.
I get like a weird feeling when I think about like how that would look when you were there. Like I think it feels a bit like, I don't know, scary, but also like
cool.
Yeah, exactly. But also like, I don't know. Like,
do I want to be there?
Yes, I don't want to be here, but I also do want to be here.
Like, honestly, it was far away enough. I think the air quality might have been affected or something. But for us, I just took photos of it. We went on the boat a certain day, and when you're outside of Reykjavik, you can, you know, the width of the island at that point is not very far. It's like, what is it? Like max like 3 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
So you can actually see all the way across the island and to the other side of the ocean.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool because it looked like a cloud coming off of the mountain.
Weird.
It was very light. I think it might have also just been a lot of like moisture, steam coming off of the volcano.
Yeah.
It wasn't just all smoke because it gets hot.
Wow. Volcano gets hot.
And it was cold. So.
Yeah.
We just went there for, I think, a week, almost 10 days. And we spent a bit of time on the, what's it called again?
I don't know.
Wait, let me look it up. I want to pronounce it. The Snæfellsnes.
Excuse me?
Snæfellsnes Peninsula.
Okay.
It's like north of Reykjavik. You have to travel for like 3 hours. You get to a peninsula that's very wide. And we started at the north side. So it's kind of funny because you could start from the south and go along the north, but we started from the north and went along the south because at the end of the trip, we would just continue back down south.
Yeah.
So we would end at the bottom of the peninsula. You can look it up. Snæfellsnes, it's like the number one almost tour you can take in Iceland because it has a bit of everything. It has... pretty shorelines, it has mountains, it has waterfalls, has a public park, it has like the official, was it there actually? I think so. There's like, we also went the south side of Iceland. We didn't travel throughout the whole Iceland. It was a bit expensive and not enough time. But you could actually travel all the way around the island. They don't have a lot of people living there.
Yeah, I mean, because, makes sense, I guess.
But. Yeah, like only 20% of the land is livable. The rest is too harsh, or the ground is just too rocky. It's just all dried lava.
Yeah,
or dried.
It's settled. Almost the same as Lanzarote.
Yeah,
it's also like there's only small patches of land where mm-hmm. you can live, and then everything else is just rocks or like lava. So,
yeah, Iceland is weird because on one hand it's very Scandinavian.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, they are proud of their own culture, and you know, to me, I've never actually been to Scandinavia, but I can imagine somewhat of the same kind of atmosphere in I don't know, Norway or something. But yeah, I really liked it. It was a fun experience. It was a good time of the year because it was raining mm-hmm. like for months there. And then when we arrived, it stopped raining for almost 5 days.
Nice.
So we had actual sun and we took some beautiful photos too.
It can get really cold there too.
Yeah. Right? Their biggest problem is not even the temperature, it's the wind.
Mm.
Because there's literally nothing around them but ocean. So
yeah,
they say that around the since they live on the on the harbors, or what do you call it,
on the
coastline, the wind gets really, really bad, and you know, you can tell by their houses, the way they've built everything, it's like extra thick.
Nice.
And everything, they even have like, you know, concrete, and then around it they have like metal plating to block the wind. And dude, I can't imagine living there. It gets dark so quick.
Yeah, it sounds on the one hand like hell, but also I think it's a very beautiful country. So
the country itself is, I honestly was a bit disappointed by the city because it didn't seem like it's very well maintained. Some of the parts of the city were kind of dilapidated and it wasn't the prettiest, nicest atmosphere.
Okay.
They didn't look as rich as I thought they were because everything
for the prices.
Yeah, everything there is like three times as expensive.
Yeah.
But apparently people get three times as much income there than in our average European country.
Okay.
Food there is really expensive. Everything gets transported or imported.
Yeah, that's like with all the islands, right? Or most islands, I guess.
Yeah, they cannot sustain themselves really in this country because
the climate, dude.
Yeah, climate and the space. They don't have a lot of.
I can't imagine space. You can grow like potatoes there, so or whatever.
That's probably the only thing they might get if it doesn't freeze too much.
Yeah.
Because they in some areas they have permafrost as well in it's a bit deeper in the island with glaciers and stuff, but they have what do you call them, glass, what are they called,
I don't know,
not glass houses. Are they called glass houses? The things where that you can keep plants in to grow throughout the year.
Greenhouses. Yes.
They have greenhouses.
Oh. And
they don't have a lot, but they have enough to grow some fruit.
Wow.
And they kind of they kind of show off because once a year they grow mangoes.
Whoa.
And they're
just
like,
because they can.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just to show off.
Impressive.
And it's really pretty outside the cities because a lot of the electricity and stuff is done by geothermal plants.
That's
so
nice.
It's really cool to see. It's just a whole barren wasteland with like green. There is a lot of grass and moss. They have a weird moss on top of all the volcanic ashes and rocks over there. And then you would see steam come out of the ground. And a lot of times there are buildings around it to harness the power of steam and heat from the earth.
Yeah, it's very cool that they kind of, you know, they adjust themselves and their way of living to nature.
Yeah.
They don't try to tame it or something, but they try to live with it.
And that's the cool story. Maybe a closing story is Reykjavik means the coast of smoke.
Nice.
Coast of white, actually, because of the smoke. Coast of white, because it was so smoky. They thought it was smoke, but it was steam.
Nice.
And, you know, they settled there because it was warmer and there's a lot of steam around that area. And they harnessed it, and that's how the first settlers lived.
Very cool.
Yeah. But yeah, I would definitely go there again. I just, it takes a lot of time. I wish I had my own camper or something and I could travel throughout the whole island.
Yeah, like on my bucket list is going to Iceland and rent a Jeep and drive around there and camp there in the Jeep, I guess. Yeah.
It's kind of scary though with the cold.
Yeah, I mean, but they are like used to that, as in you have like heaters and stuff. It sounds like a nice adventure.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
So yeah, I think we had considering some other things, I think we had a pretty good year.
Yeah, I think, you know, life is life, and I lived life.
Life is life, and that's how we end this beautiful podcast.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, like we've skipped a week, I think, right? With a
week?
2 weeks?
Probably more.
No, right?
If we skip this week, it's 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. 3 weeks then. Oops. Sorry. Sorry. I was in Japan.
That's a good excuse.
It is. Yeah, the 7th. Ooh, that's a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
Thanks for listening.
And we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye.